At daybreak, Jesus went out to a certain place. The people were looking for him, and they came to where he was. They tried to keep him from leaving them, but he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full they were going to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they put their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Well, hello everyone. I hope you're all doing well as lockdown continues and this strange time seems to go on and on. It's good to be able to gather together, even virtually like this, and to gather around the Word of God. And we're going to be continuing our series on discipleship, that is, how to be a Christian, how to love, trust, and follow Jesus. A Christian is a disciple of Jesus. What's a disciple? A disciple is a learner. And Jesus teaches his disciples in a particular way. His disciples listen first to his words, and then also they watch him doing the stuff. And then they copy what he does. And this applies to all kinds of aspects of being a Christian for the original disciples and for us as his disciples today. For example, if we want to know how to pray, well, we can listen to what Jesus says about prayer by reading his words in the New Testament. And then as we continue reading, we can also watch him demonstrating himself how to pray. Or if it's resisting temptation, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, we can listen to what Jesus says about temptation, but we can also read about how he himself handled temptation. Or if it's about healing, we can listen to Jesus' words on healing. We can see him healing. If it's about telling others the message of the good news, if it's about our attitude to the poor, if it's about how we should treat the scriptures, even if it's something like paying our taxes, we can watch Jesus. We can hear his words and we can see what he does and copy him. That's what being a disciple of Jesus really means. And this also applies to the question of how can we be disciples? How can we love, trust, and follow Jesus better? Well, we learn that from Jesus, as we read in the pages of the New Testament, Luke's Gospel, as we've been following over the last few weeks. We listen to what Jesus says about following God, and then we watch how Jesus himself demonstrates how he loves, trusts, and follows his Father. And then we do the same thing in loving, trusting, and following Jesus. Jesus himself provides us the model. And in the passage we're looking at today, we see how this works out. It's really two completely separate stories. Maybe the connection is in this business of listening to God and responding to God. First of all, we see Jesus listening to his Father and then responding to his Father and taking what the Father says and sharing it with others. And then we see the disciples doing the same thing in the second story, particularly Peter, listening to Jesus and then responding to what Jesus says. So we're going to spend a few minutes on each of these stories today. First of all, Jesus listens. First of all, we see Jesus listening to God. It says in verse 42, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. Luke doesn't actually say what Jesus did in the solitary place. He's sort of implying, but Mark makes it obvious in Mark's account of the same incident. In Mark 1:35, he says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. If you ask someone to tell you their favourite story about Jesus, you'll get a whole load of different answers. Maybe it'd be the feeding of the 5,000. Maybe it would be walking on water. That's a good one. Maybe it'd be calming the storm or raising Lazarus from the dead. There's so many to choose from. Not many people would say, oh, well, you know, my favourite story about Jesus is the one where he gets up really early in the morning and goes off by himself. Not very glamorous, not very exciting. But the reality is that this story is the most important because this story is the foundation for all the other stories about all the other amazing things that Jesus did. He wouldn't really have had the power or the direction to do all those other things if he wasn't taking time to spend in the presence of his Father, being guided by God, drawing on his strength, listening to God, praying, thinking, praising him. And Jesus took the time to do this because he knew that that was what was underpinning the rest of his ministry. It wasn't that he had time on his hands. Jesus was busy. He had things to do. He had people to see. He was a man on a mission. A mission from God. He had lots and lots of demands on his time. But he knew that to do all those things, he needed to have time on his own, away from the stresses and busyness of life. Just him and his Father. And, of course, the same is true of us, isn't it? If Jesus needed to do that, how much more do we need to do that? And Jesus encourages his disciples to do just that. On one occasion in Mark 6, verse 31, it says, then because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, they were really busy. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I know in my own life, if I don't spend time with the Lord and don't take time to do that, then my Christian life grows weaker. I don't do so well as a Christian. If I do take the time to be with Jesus, spend time in his presence, I'm stronger and I do better. And Jesus sets us the example then. He takes time to be with his Father, to pray and to listen to him. So first of all, Jesus listens to God, and then Jesus responds to God. Jesus comes out of his time with his Father with a really clear idea of what it is he needs to do next, and importantly, what he's not going to do next. In verse 42, it says the people were looking for him. When they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. You may have had the same experience, that you're there with God, trying to have your time with God, and then suddenly somehow the busyness of the day crashes in and catches up with you. Jesus had exactly the same experience. This crowd suddenly turn up. They found him. They've discovered him. His time with God is over. And not only that, they turn up with a complete agenda for the day. They've got it all worked out. He needs to stay with them. It's all going so well. Hey, Jesus, it's day two of the mission. You're having a great time here. There's so many healings and miracles. People are really responding to the message. This is a great mission opportunity, an open door, an unmissable opportunity, Jesus. You've got to stay with us. And I guess it was pretty tempting for Jesus to get sucked into that enthusiasm. It was going well, and he was getting a response. But Jesus is very clear. He cannot stay with them. He said in verse 43, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent. Even Jesus couldn't do everything. As a man on the earth, he was limited in capacity. He was limited in his energies. He could only be in one place at one time. He had the same number of hours in a day as everyone else. He couldn't do everything. He had to make a choice about what to do next. And it's almost as if, as he comes out of this prayer time, it's almost as if he's just been talking to his Father about this very thing. He doesn't even seem to have to think about it. He knows that they're responding, and that's good, but Jesus is very clear. He can't stay. He has a mission to go to the other towns. It's not about how well it's going here, though that's good. It's about what God is asking him to do. Jesus is clear. It's not success that counts. What counts is what God is asking him to do next. And the same's true for us, isn't it? His disciples, as we seek to copy him, we can't do everything. We have a limited amount of time and energy and resources. We need to decide where to give that time and energy and to let God guide us in making that choice. When God wants us to come and spend time with him, it isn't that he doesn't care about our busy lives. He absolutely understands what it is to be busy. He's not saying, oh, just forget about all that business. Rather, he's saying this. I want to be involved in your busy life. I want to help guide you and help you make the choice about where you spend your time and resources. Come and spend some time with me and let's talk about it together. I wonder if, as you listen to this, there are things that Jesus might be asking you right now, maybe to set aside, maybe things that he doesn't want you to do at the moment. And maybe there are other things that he's asking you to take up, things that he does want you to do at the moment. So that's the first thing. Jesus alone, listening, responding. That's the first story. Jesus is setting the example. And in the second story, we see the disciples following Jesus' example, in particular Peter. Peter listens. So in this story, everybody's crowding round and Jesus thinks, well, a great idea here. I'd use the boat as a pulpit. So he gets into Peter's boat, says, let's put out a bit from the shore and preaches from the boat. And I've never been to the Holy Land, but I'm told that parts of the Sea of Galilee, which is the same as Lake Gennesaret, has steep banks and has these inlets that curve in and out. And in some of them, you get this kind of natural amphitheater effect. And if you're in a boat just a little way from shore, actually the people on the shore can hear you more clearly than if you were standing on the shore with them. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've heard. Anyway, Jesus is in the boat and he's preaching and the crowd is listening to Jesus. And one man in particular is definitely listening, Peter, because he's a captive audience. It's his boat. He wasn't asked about it particularly, but Jesus said, right, I'm in the boat. Come on, Peter, let's put out a little way from shore. He's not going anywhere. He'd have to dive overboard to get away. He has to sit and listen. And he is listening. And he's listening. And he's listening. And he's listening. I don't know how long Jesus spoke for, but at some point, it finishes. And that's a critical moment in Peter's life, actually. After Jesus has finished speaking, he asks Peter for a response. You've heard what I've said, Peter. Now, what are you going to do about it? And he says this to Peter, put out in deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Peter has a choice. Is he going to do what Jesus says? Or is it just he enjoyed listening and that's the end of the sermon and he'll just go and do something else? It's great to listen to the words of Jesus. Of course, that's really good. But what really counts is how we respond to the words of Jesus, whether or not we're going to put them into practice. I've heard many sermons over the years as a Christian. I've even preached many sermons. And to be honest, if I'd responded wholeheartedly to everything I'd heard in every sermon and everything I'd preached in every sermon, I certainly would have saved myself and others a lot of pain and hurt. It's really critical that we don't just listen, but we respond. And Jesus lays down the challenge to Peter. You've heard my words, Peter. You seem pretty interested. So what are you going to do about it? Let's go fishing. And at first, Peter objects. He says to the Lord, well, we've worked all night, Lord, and we've caught nothing. He's a fisherman. He knows his trade. You fish at night. You don't go fishing in the middle of the day when there are noisy crowds around. And it's been not a very good night. They haven't caught anything. But then Peter goes on to add, well, but if you say so, I will let down the nets. What Jesus is asking Peter to do is exactly what Jesus has just been doing himself in that previous story. Just as Jesus wasn't influenced by popularity or the opportunity or success, rather he was determined to do the will of his Father because his Father said so. So Peter here is being challenged not to be influenced actually by past failure, by past experiences of what's been going on during the night, but to obey what Jesus is saying now because he says so. And actually, sometimes we can feel a bit like Peter, can't we? We may feel we put in a lot of effort into the various things we've been doing. We've worked hard all night long without much result. Maybe we've put a lot of effort into our job and really doing a good job with integrity at work. Maybe it's relationships. Perhaps we've been working really hard on a particular relationship that's been difficult and where we've been struggling. Maybe it's church. Maybe we put a lot of work into serving in the church. Maybe it's evangelism and telling people about Jesus. Over the years, we've done so much work in that area. Maybe it's battling temptation and struggling with sin. Maybe it's praying for healing. We've done all these things. We put so much in. And to be honest, we can feel sometimes like we haven't really seen much of a result. We haven't really seen much success or much fruit. We feel like we've caught nothing, and it can be tempting to focus on that failure and that lack of success. But Jesus is asking Peter not to do that. He's saying to Peter, don't focus on the fruitless night of work that you've had, but just listen to what I'm asking you to do now. What counts is not past success, however amazing and wonderful that might be, or past failure, however many times we might have tried and failed. What counts is what God is asking us to do now, because you say so. And finally then, Peter does respond. Peter does do what Jesus is asking him to do. He lets down the nets and they get such an amazing catch of fish. It's astonishing. And the whole situation is transformed. They can't handle the number of fish that they've caught. They have to call another boat to come and help them. It's an amazing experience. It's a miracle. But of course, Jesus is not really looking for a great haul of fish. He's looking for quite a different catch. He's looking to hook Peter himself. And it's effective. When Peter sees what happens, what his obedience has produced, what the words of Jesus have led to when he put them into practice, something clicks inside him and he realizes, actually, this isn't about fish. It's not even about religion. It's about this man, Jesus, whoever he is. This is the man I need to to follow. This is the one I need to respond to. And actually, the response in him is dramatic and overwhelming. He responds in two ways. Firstly, he runs and falls at Jesus' feet. And secondly, at the same time, he becomes profoundly aware of his own sin and his own shame and his unworthiness in the presence of this man, Jesus. And he blurts out to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." I love that picture of contradiction and that mixed message. Peter's mouth is saying, "Go away from me, Lord." Peter's legs are carrying him, running towards the Lord and falling at his feet. And I don't know about you, but I definitely identify with that mixed emotion. Listening to the words of Jesus can be really challenging. We read the Bible, we spend time praying. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can put his finger on things in our lives. It can be quite uncomfortable, and we can be convicted, and we can see our sin in a new light and with new clarity, and we can feel shame and guilt and be aware of how far short we fall of his glory, and we can almost feel, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." That's certainly been my experience. And I think actually the closer we get to God, sometimes the more we can feel like that, the more clarity we have about how far short we fall of God's glory. The question is, when we feel like that, when the Holy Spirit is touching something in our hearts, putting his finger on something that's not right, what do we do? Well, there's only one thing to do, and that's what Peter did, to run towards Jesus. Even if our hearts might feel like saying, "Go away from me, Lord," we have to run towards the Lord Jesus. And if we come to him, if we fall at his feet, we will find the same response as Peter. Those amazing words that Peter heard Jesus say, "Don't be afraid." And then Jesus adds, "From now on, you will catch people." And the truth is this, there is no one better qualified to tell people about Jesus than someone who has understood their guilt and their shame and their sin and received forgiveness and healing and freedom from Jesus. For Peter, the good news of forgiveness is not just something he's been told about. It's not just a message he's been given. It's something he's experiencing firsthand. He knows what it is to feel ashamed before the Lord, and he knows what it is to run to the Lord and be received in forgiveness and to hear the words, "Don't be afraid." He probably didn't quite understand at that time exactly how it's possible to be forgiven through Jesus. But years later, as an old man, he was able to write in his first letter, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, "He himself," Jesus himself, "bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed." It was on the cross that Jesus made forgiveness possible for you and for me. He died for my sins and for your sins. He bore my guilt and my shame and your guilt and your shame. He took the punishment that each one of us deserves, nailing it to the cross. And when we come to Jesus, he welcomes us with the words, "Do not be afraid." We can receive total forgiveness, total freedom from guilt and shame. And we get to experience for ourselves the good news. Just how good, actually, the good news of Jesus really is. And to be honest, there is no greater qualification for telling people about Jesus. We don't really need a lot of theology. We don't really need a lot of knowledge or learning. we don't need to know all the arguments and all the answers. No one does. But we do need to experience for ourselves what it is to be forgiven, what it is to be received by Jesus, and to know that we are totally forgiven through his blood shed on the cross. To experience firsthand that this message, it really is good news. It's the best news, actually, in the world. Maybe as you're listening to these words, you're hearing this for the first time. Perhaps for the first time, you're feeling aware of how far short you fall of God's glory, of some of the things in your life that are not right. And you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I really do want to know this Jesus. I really do want to receive forgiveness. And like Peter, run to Jesus and fall at his feet and to hear those words, do not be afraid. If you'd like to explore with someone how you can do that and how you can give your life to Jesus and receive forgiveness, why don't you send an email to our minister, John Thompson. The email address is on the screen now, and he'd be delighted to talk that through with you. Or maybe you've been a Christian a long time and you've been on a long journey of faith with the Lord. Perhaps the Lord is asking all of us, myself included, will we listen more intently to him? And will we respond when he asks us to do whatever it is? Will we receive again his assurance of forgiveness? And will we receive again his mission, his commission to tell others about this amazing good news of salvation and forgiveness that we have received? Why don't we spend a few moments just praying together? Lord, thank you so much that you came to this earth to save each and every one of us from our sin, from our shame, from our guilt, from death itself. Thank you that you took all this upon yourself and paid the price so that we could be totally forgiven. And thank you that now we have this amazing news that everyone who puts their faith in you can receive this same forgiveness and promise of new life. Help us to listen more closely to you. Help us to put your words into practice. And help us to be directed and guided by you in the way that we should take this message to others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.